and welcome to episode 121 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Laura, and Lindsay, and our special guest, written in capital letters and everything, our special guest, Heidi Rodriguez. Winter in Europe is not the same without the Christmas markets, whose history goes back as far as the late Middle Ages. It's hard not to get into a festive mood with hearty, comforting food that warms your body and soul, the cheerful and lively atmosphere in the market squares, and the fairy tale surroundings, often majestic cathedrals or city halls serving as backdrops in a town that seems to have halted in time. One of the most famous markets is in Strasbourg, France, the capital of the Alsace region on the border of Germany. It's full of history and charm all year round with its Gothic cathedral and medieval streets. But particularly during the Christmas season, it transforms into a wonderland. After all, this is the place where the oldest Christmas market was set up in 1570. The Christkindlmarkt was chosen as the best Christmas market in Europe 2 years in a row by European Best Destinations. It's currently the largest in Europe with about 300 stalls over 12 areas within the city. Enjoy the special Christmas concerts, bring children to the Christmas village where you'll find a circus and merry-go-round, as well as traditional Alsatian crafted decorations, and savor Bredel. Anybody know? Laura, do you know Bredel?
It's a Christmas biscuit.
They come in different flavors, with the ones with orange.
Christmas biscuit.
Exactly. They come in different flavors, but the ones with orange and cinnamon are particularly delicious. You're going to have to believe that I just read that, because clearly I've never had one. Our guest today is not only a librarian and the amazing virtual assistant and podcast editor of our agency, but a savvy, well-seasoned traveler. This past Christmas, she and her husband Luis journeyed one more time to soak up, revel in, and explore the magic of the Christmas markets of Europe that made her fall in love with the season all over again. In all, she has visited markets in 14 cities spanning over 6 countries. Welcome, Heidi.
Well, thank you. Hello, everybody.
So let's just start. Is the Strasbourg market the best market of all of them?
It's my favorite.
Is it?
But for a reason that's just ridiculous. The German markets and the Austrian markets are very traditional and beautiful, but the lights are all white and the decorations are very classic. The Strasbourg market is very colorful.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So basically your colored Christmas tree lights versus your white Christmas
exactly.
tree lights.
Exactly. And I'm not a beer drinker. I'm a wine drinker, so I'm better off in France.
Do you understand what she just said, Sandy?
No.
I drink wine.
Well, I do actually. It's been known to happen.
I could be in either of those places.
So then after Strasbourg, since that's like everybody's favorite apparently, what's the next best?
Well, my husband and I were doing a lot of talking about this on the way home, and the conclusion we came to is don't choose a market based on the market. Choose a city based on the city, mm-hmm. and if there's a market there, great. As far as markets go, the huge one that's super popular is Nuremberg. It's enormous. And it's the classical Christkindlmarkt. There's probably about 6 different markets throughout the city, and there was actually an American stall there. And it had, what was it? Was it Ho-Ho's and Coca-Cola?
Oh, yeah. I remember that picture. You said that Atlanta was the hosting city.
Yeah, I was like, really? Seriously? This is our Christkindlmarkt?
Oh, yeah. It was Twinkies.
Twinkies. That's what it was. Twinkies.
This is how we're appeared.
Yes. Yes. Especially at Christmas. Who eats Twinkies at Christmas?
My husband does.
What? But does he eat Twinkies year-round?
Yes.
Okay, so that's different.
If he sees them and... Yeah, he pretty much eats them.
So let's just talk a little bit, because I think for an American, the idea of a Christmas market, like, we don't necessarily know what that is. Like,
why would we want to?
Yeah, what is it? What makes it a Christmas market?
Oh, wow. What makes it? Well, I guess it's kind of like a state fair, kind of. Imagine a state fair with a history going back to the 1500s. Mm-hmm. They're often centered around the cathedral or the city hall, children's choirs singing, you know, whatever. In Germany, it's a lot of beer. In France, it's a lot of wine. Glühwein being sold, hot wine. It's mulled wine. Traditional foods, sausages, crepes, plus handicrafts for the area. And some markets have very strict rules. there are markets in Germany where they only sell medieval handcrafts. And then there are others that don't have any rules at all, and you'll find junk from China and, you know, just stuff that you can pretty much find anywhere.
Like gifts in general.
Mm-hmm. And they have two very different personalities. During the day, it's very different from at night. Mm-hmm. During the day, it's school children and tourists, and it's kind of low key and mostly shoppers. And then at night, it converts into when the locals get out of work, they go and hang out. There are wine stands all over the place, centered around little heaters, and everybody's kind of just hanging out, drinking wine, socializing, maybe eating after work, doing a little bit of shopping.
Yeah, because this is not like peak summer weather. This is cold in Europe at Christmas. I guess that would be the Christmas markets would be the reason I would go that time of year. I don't think I'd go otherwise.
Well, or low crowds. I mean, I got to tell you, having been now twice in November, of course, I'm sort of like you with bears or whatever it is, and me with alligators. I go to Europe right before the Christmas markets open up, so I get to see them setting up the booths, but I never actually get to experience it. But yeah, I think the low crowds. If you can. Button up, put on a jacket and get out there. It's really not so bad. And, you know, with the heaters and everything else and
it's
hot
really
wine.
A lot of fun. The hot wine is awesome. Really does warm you up. And they also had hot chocolate with Baileys and, just different kinds. There was, hot wine with rum in it, different kinds of rums. And
so, well, how many did you visit this time?
Like 7 or 8.
But you felt like after a while they kind of blended together?
They did kind of blend together. At least the goods being sold blended together. Mm-hmm. And there were places that we went that we didn't choose for the market. So I went to Prague. Prague doesn't have much of a market at all. Mm-hmm. And it has markets, but you wouldn't go to Prague and say, oh, I'm going to go to this traditional market because it's really nothing great. But the Christmas vibe in Prague was amazing. Oh. It just had one of the best vibes of any of the cities I've been to for around the Christmas season.
I think then you're just getting into almost a, I've been to London as they put up the Christmas lights over, and it's just magical. Or the Macy's, where you go see the windows and things like that. That
Disney World.
Big city, how it decorates for it.
Kind of like I Disney World, or picture New York on a huge scale. Mm-hmm. You know, not just a few stores and a few avenues, but the whole Altstadt, the whole old town is converted into a paradise. And, you know, a great way to see it would be on a river cruise. We did it through by train, which was great, except we were moving around a lot and it kind of got tiring at the end of a couple of weeks. But by river cruise, I think would be optimal. You unpack once and the only downfall I think would be is if make sure that whatever river cruise you're on, that you do get to experience a couple of the markets at night, because at night it is absolutely magical.
And it is actually pretty easy to do that. I mean, I think, you know, my river cruise that I went on a couple of years ago, had we been there when the Christmas markets were open, we could have experienced them at night.
And their itineraries are set up around the
Christmas markets. You can actually do like a specific Christmas market cruise where that's their whole goal. It's interesting because when I was in Paris last year, they started setting up the market. And the funny thing is, even in a big city like Paris, like on the Champs-Élysées, they're putting these little wooden shacks for the Christmas market. Uh-huh. Now, they also were building like this huge Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
It's
on one end of the Champs-Élysées.
And it's definitely bigger, I guess.
Yeah.
But they still have the same core concept of the European Christmas market. So you sort of get the best of both worlds. You have like Paris all around you, but then you have that smaller market, you know, the booth to booth kind of thing. So we talk a lot. I want to talk about the food, but I want to wait because I think that's kind of the best part. So what are the sorts of like tchotchkes and things? Is it just like Christmas ornaments and wooden toys, or like what are the things that, or is it books, or like what do you buy at the market that isn't food?
It depends on the market. Mostly it's ornaments. I did not bring back any of the glass ornaments that they're famous for because I don't know how to get them home.
It's a bummer.
Actually in Strasbourg, whole villages, whole Christmas villages, you know, the ones that light up and sit in your front window or in your fireplace, famous for that kind of stuff, the ornaments. They sell spices, they sell, not books, not durable goods, more gift items. It's a lot of food.
All right.
And a lot of drink.
We can move to the food, but have we exhausted all the other topics?
Well, do they have like scarves or jewelry?
Not very much at all. Okay. Actually, I had hoped to buy a scarf when I was there. I'd only brought small scarves with me, and I really wanted a big scarf when I got over there, and I never found one.
Maybe you should have packed a little.
So I read somewhere about these collectible market mugs.
Oh, yes. I brought back 7 of them. It's awesome. So, like, when you go to a, the only one that didn't do this was Prague. When you go to a market, you pay a 3 euro deposit for a mug, and then you pay 2 euros for the wine. And if at the end, if you want your mug, if you want to get your 3 euros back, you walk up, there's a big dishwashing room, and you put it down, and they give you your money back. Or you can keep the mug and just keep refilling it. And so each city has its own mug, and each year the mugs are different. And actually, even some of the markets within the city are different. So Munich has about 6 or 7 markets, and the mugs were different in each of the markets.
And can you refill with somebody else's mug?
Yeah, they don't care.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, this is like a challenge thing.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate drinking challenge.
Yeah. Drinking around the Christmas markets.
So what, is it like a plastic mug or a ceramic mug?
No, it's a ceramic mug. It's like a coffee mug.
Nice.
And they're shaped, some are shaped like boots and some are shaped like regular mugs. And yeah, those were my souvenirs.
Do you have any concept of how many ounces that holds?
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you for asking. This is actually something I love because in Europe, you know exactly how much you're getting and how much it costs of any beverage you buy. It's part of the EU, some EU law. So whenever you get a glass of wine or beer or even these mugs at the markets, it's marked off on the side. And I think, oh God, I don't remember how much it is. You know, like what the actual milliliters are, but it's so many milliliters for so many euros, and it's uniform across the board for the market for the city.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And is it just like, is the mug just for mulled wine, or is it for like, could you put beer in it and then put wine in it? And then, I mean,
I don't think it's for beer. I think beer is served in a different type of glass, but they also make like hot chocolate in it.
Okay.
For children's, they have punch, non-alcoholic punch. This would actually be a great trip with kids because there's a lot for kids to do. Every market has a children's area with little carnival rides. I mean, dinky ones, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when we were in Cologne, it was right before the Christmas market. And we walked right over the ice rink that we couldn't participate in. So they had like an actual like skating rink set up. And it wasn't like fake ice. It was real
ice.
Honest to goodness ice that you could skate on. We're in North Carolina. So when they set up those ice rinks here, a lot of times it's the like rubber, whatever it is that you skate on. But, but yeah, it's like real. And it's cute. They've got like Christmas trees around it, and it's like a figure eight shape.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's like being in a Dickens village. If you're at all sentimental about Christmas or what you perceive as traditional Christmas, because most of our tradition, our Christmas traditions come from Germany. Mm-hmm. And so at Salzburg, for example, was like a dream. You know, it's this city, this beautiful city. Here's these markets set up, very classy, very white lights, very all the wooden stalls with green boughs of evergreens on them. There had been a sprinkling of snow a couple of days before. We walked into the square and there was a children's choir singing. And there was a bonfire where you could go and get warm. Yes, it was just beautiful.
It was like my idea of heaven.
Yeah.
Beat me up, Scotty.
Yeah, it's very, and I have to say too, it's
How long before Christmas do the markets start?
They start the first, when Advent starts, it's usually right around our Thanksgiving. I think it's usually the Friday after
like
Thanksgiving,
weeks.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think I left Europe when I did my river cruise. I left Amsterdam on the 26th of November. And when we went to Cologne, which was maybe a day, maybe 2 days before Amsterdam, the Christmas market was going to open the next day. And then the stop before that, the Christmas market did, it was opening that day, but we... it was the timing of our visit to the city. We
just had
an hour. Yeah, we really just missed it. So we could have, had we skipped dinner, we could have gone to the market. We actually thought we had more time. That's the other thing. It closes earlier than you think. You think it's going to be open until midnight.
No.
And yeah, at 8 o'clock, they're like, nope, we're done.
Actually, there was a small town in Germany when we were just laughing so hard because the clock tower started striking 8 and all of the stalls, boom, 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 the wooden doors came down and that was it. It was done. So, but you got to remember it gets dark at like 4 or a little after 4. So you have plenty. You have plenty of time to see it at night, which is when it's at.
Are they open like first thing in the morning or is it after lunch or?
Like around 10, I think.
So you guys, you and your husband are very well traveled, but I don't think y'all speak German, right? Did you feel like you needed to or did you wish you had or?
I
Oh, is there a story here?
I had a hard time with it. I could pick words out, and I, you know, enough to say, I think it's Frohlig Wine something or another for Merry Christmas. That was it. Where we had a little bit of a problem was the Czech Republic, because the language is so, so different. It's more more Russian-like than any language I've heard. And in three words, we had please, thank you, and hello, and that bent my brain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in Germany, no, it wasn't bad. Everybody really speaks English. In the Czech Republic, too, it just was a little more of a, there were some people that didn't. There were a lot of people that speak Russian.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they sell, like, custom stockings and stuff like that? Like, is that a thing?
You mean, like, stockings to hang on your fireplace?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see
I was just trying to think of other things that people like, you know, like hand-carved wooden Santas and
The Nutcrackers. The hand-carved nutcrackers, all those type of decorations, a lot of blown glass, a ton of blown glass.
Did they have the elf on the shelf?
No, they did not. They did not have the elf on the shelf. Maybe next to the Twinkies.
The Coca-Cola.
This creepy little elf that's going to sneak into your room at night if you're not, he's watching you.
What about the special events? What about the Krampus?
Oh my God!
Oh yeah, talk about the Krampus.
Thank you for bringing that up.
I actually structured part of my trip around the Krampus. So the Krampus, you can see them on the solstice, which is the 21st, or on St. Nicholas Day. Isn't that like December 5th or 6th or something? There's Krampus and then the Perchin, they're called. Krampus are the bad ones. The Perchin are the not so bad ones, but they look exactly like the Krampus.
And so good luck to you.
Good luck figuring out. And on those days, they have a Krampus run. And no, it's not a race.
It's not 5K.
Yeah, 5K Krampus run.
Clarify for Sandy.
As it gets dark, they have some sort of ceremony in front of the cathedral. This is very pagan, because this stems back to the time when St. Nicholas was, you know, would bring toys to the children, and then he'd have to bring his evil spirits with him to for the bad children to be punished.
This really looks like something that you'd want children at.
So there were lots of children at it, and they actually
depends
really,
on the children,
right? They actually really enjoyed it, but I think they're brought up with it. I think if you were to stick an American child in the middle of this, they would be in therapy for
probably my son
years.
Would be freaked.
Yeah, mine
out.
Too.
These costumes were amazing. They cost upwards of $3,000 a costume, and they're noisy. They have big bells on and noisemakers on them, and they look like devils. And they march through the streets and they whip you. And they do whip you.
Sandy is in.
Wait, do you have to be behaving badly?
They just walk up and take your hat, or they whip you. And you have to like chase them down to get your hat back. And a couple of them, I didn't see one of them coming up behind me. And I screamed my head off. They are really, really awful looking things. I would not want to meet one in the dark.
That's so funny, because you were like actively searching them out.
So compare this to, because I know you also do like the haunted mazes or whatever.
No, this is
totally different.
This is totally different. Like, just imagine standing in a crowded city street with a bunch of people, and then these monsters come ambling through with making noise. With firecrackers, too. I forgot about the firecrackers.
You did this voluntarily? Yeah. Like, this was something you chose to do.
Yes, we did.
I'm not.
Yes. My husband was not totally on board at first.
This is the thing that my friend Walter would do in order to kill me. Yeah. This is the sort of thing
like, throw you in front of the
whip. Like, hey, look at this.
I would enjoy this, but I think I would have to, like, stick my husband in the American booth for that portion.
So is there like an appointed hour?
Yes. It's and they kind of parade around the Christmas market, and then they come back the other way, and then they're a little more mellow towards the end, and then you can take pictures with them. But apparently out in the countryside, they're really brutal. They really do whip you.
Oh, so, wow.
But yeah, I was going to say, like, let's talk about the whipping here. Is this, like, with a feather or, like, 50 Shades?
There's other options, Lindsay, just so you know.
Like a knotted rope on your ankles.
Ow.
ow.
And is this something that happens in like every Christmas market, or is it just okay? It's mainly a German
thing? This is a German-Austrian thing. Okay. It's not even all parts of...
Okay.
It's a mountain thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
Yeah, I wonder if they do something like this in West Virginia.
And the show takes a turn. Yeah. I bet they do it in Pittsburgh. That mountainous corner of Pittsburgh.
When I was reading up on it today, reading up on the markets, it did look like different markets have different kind of parades, or like maybe it was Cologne has like a festival of the lights or something.
They all do. They
parade
do
of the lights.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like kids or women dressed up like angels or something parade through with light.
Yep, that's true.
So it's like the, it looks like there are special events at each market, which is something that we haven't even touched on because... Maybe it's something that's more Americanized, or maybe I'm just thinking about this, but is there admission to these markets?
There's no admission.
It's like an outdoor festival.
And it is not Americanized
like an outdoor festival.
At all. It is not it's felt very alien to me, in a good way, but this is not. As a matter of fact, I went to a market in Brighton Park in New York where they tried to do it, and it just it doesn't have that vibe to it. This is truly, yes, tourists go to this, but this is locals. Actually, Innsbruck, Austria, it was all locals enjoying their market.
So is this every single night? I mean, because you were there for like...
It depends on the city, because some only have them on the weekends. Some smaller towns only do it one weekend. Oh. So there's some really beautiful little towns outside of Salzburg on the lakes. Mm-hmm. And it's all connected on a ferry, but it's only like 2 or 3 weekends. Where you go on the ferry, you stop at one market, then you get on the ferry at night, and it's all lit up on the lake, and then you go to the next market. That would have been
beautiful. That would be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that the whole river cruise thing that we talked about before, that's a great way to go to some of these smaller ones. I mean, the town of Speyer, and go ahead, Google it, because you don't know where it is. and they do, like, this amazing, and the whole, like, there's only really one main street. It's a very, very small town, and it's lined with these stalls. You know, it just depends on the town and its history, and you know, so I don't know if they do it every night, and again, I missed it. I could just see them setting it up, but but yeah, it's, I mean, it was definitely like, you could tell it was a highlight of the year. It's they, you know, they pull out all the stops for it. It's
definitely a highlight of the year.
People are interested in doing the river cruise. We do have some who are listening. We did have some specials on a couple of river cruises for 2018.
And 17.
That are focused around the market.
You could still go in 2017, too.
Yeah. I think it would be really a great way to see it. Because,
sorry, 2017.
So let's talk about food. What's the best food? I mean, you said sausages, and I know there's lots of like pastries and things too, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So, okay, let's just get to the nitty gritty. How much heavier were you when you came back?
8 pounds.
Wow.
That's like a cruise vacation.
No, that's even worse than my cruise vacation.
Because there's a lot of pastries.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wine.
Yeah.
And it's sweetened wine. So it's sweetened and spiced. Yeah. And we did a lot of walking too, so.
So it could have been worse.
Could have been much worse. I will say that the glue wine, it's actually very interesting because I've had mulled wine here, but I live in North Carolina. And it's probably pretty rare that you've had mulled wine in a situation where the mulled wine really does what mulled wine was designed to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tasty. But when we were in Paris recently, we had some before we got on our little Seine River cruise. And it was chilly outside, and it will warm you to your toes.
It really does.
Very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the alcohol in it. It's also just the warmth of the drink. So just think about soup that's like fortified with alcohol, and then think about how cold it is.
Alcohol soup.
And think about how fast you'll drink that because it keeps you so warm. And before you know it, you're having a really good time.
It's true. My husband took a photography class in Prague, and I was on my own for a few hours, and I just kind of kept sucking it down. It was really cold out.
Yeah, it keeps you warm.
And by the time I went back over the Charles River Bridge, which is this enormous, beautiful bridge, but there's lots of vendors on it, I had shopped my way from one way of the bridge to the other and had a few more glue wines, and it really does keep you
warm. Did you have that moment where Louise said, "What did you buy?" And you're like, "I have no idea."
I bought earrings and matchings, and I don't even know what I bought.
Everything but a skull.
scarf. Everything but a scarf. I couldn't find a scarf.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to say about the markets? Like, is there any, so if you're planning a trip, do you think the river cruise is the best way to go? Or is there, should you just go to Strasbourg and be done with it? Or like, what's your,
I don't know. There? I would actually pick a city that you're interested in seeing for the city and go to the market there, because the markets really do kind of blur together after a while. So like, we made a special trip to Nuremberg for the market, and I don't know if I would have done that again. I would do that again. It's, everybody loves it, but it's a huge market, and I didn't find the city that intriguing. It has a great museum.
Wait, which one? There's some history there for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? You said that was your favorite market then?
No, that wasn't my favorite market. I think Strasbourg is probably, but I like Munich too, because Munich is a very lively city. At Christmas, people are really partying and having a good time. There's a lot to see. There's a lot to do. So I would almost pick something you're interested in and then look at around it. Maybe pick a city and then go out into the country to one of the smaller markets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a river cruise is good too if you do not have that comfort level of, you know, because you guys travel. That wasn't your first trip to Europe this year. So, yeah. So I think, you know, I guess it kind of depends on what you are comfortable doing. I know people who never want to be on a guided tour. They always want to be exploring on their own, but myself, I would love to do a river cruise.
Well, and with a river cruise, you don't have to
haul my crap around.
Yeah, it's a good point. And we know how much crap you haul around. Yeah. So.
And if she has all her suitcases or duct tape, I'm not buying her suitcases.
Okay, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away, and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Sandy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you, Heidi, for joining us this week. We really appreciate
your insight. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.